The scripture reading this morning is continuing readings from the first book of Samuel, and is chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. Now the Israelites went out to fight against the Philistines. The Israelites camped at Ebenezer, and the Philistines at Aphek. The Philistines deployed their forces to meet Israel, and as the battle spread, Israel was defeated by the Philistines, who killed about 4,000 of them on the battlefield. When the soldiers returned to camp, the elders of Israel asked, "Why did the Lord bring defeat upon us today before the Philistines? Let us bring the Ark of the Lord's covenant from Shiloh, so that it may go with us and save us from the hand of our enemies." So the people sent men to Shiloh, and they brought back the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord Almighty, who is enthroned between the cherubim. And Eli's two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the Ark of the Covenant of God. When the Ark of the Lord's Covenant came into the camp, all Israel raised such a great shout that the ground shook. Hearing the uproar, the Philistines asked, "What's all this shouting in the Hebrew camp?" When they learned that the Ark of the Lord had come into the camp, the Philistines were afraid. "A god has come into the camp," they said. "We're in trouble. Nothing like this has happened before. Woe to us. Who will deliver us from the hand of these mighty gods? They are the gods who struck the Egyptians with all kinds of plagues in the desert. Be strong, Philistines, be men, or you will be subject to the Hebrews as they have been to you. Be men and fight." So the Philistines fought, and the Israelites were defeated, and every man fled to his tent. The slaughter was very great. Israel lost 30,000 foot soldiers. The Ark of God was captured, and Eli's two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, died. That same day, a Benjamite ran from the battle line and went to Shiloh, his clothes torn and dust on his head. When he arrived, there was Eli sitting on his chair by the side of the road, watching, because his heart feared for the Ark of God. When the man entered the town and told what had happened, the whole town sent up a cry. Eli heard the outcry and asked, "What is the meaning of this uproar?" The man hurried over to Eli, who was 98 years old, and whose eyes were set so that he could not see. He told Eli, "I have just come from the battle line. I fled from it this very day." Eli asked, "What happened, my son?" The man who brought the news replied, "Israel fled before the Philistines, and the army has suffered heavy losses. Also, your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead. And the Ark of God has been captured." When he mentioned the Ark of God, Eli fell backwards off his chair by the side of the gate. His neck was broken, and he died. For he was an old man and heavy. He had led Israel for 40 years. His daughter-in-law, the wife of Phinehas, was pregnant and near the time of delivery. When she heard the news that the Ark of God had been captured and that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, she went into labor and gave birth, but was overcome by her labor pains. As she was dying, The women attending her said, "Don't despair, you have given birth to a son." But she did not respond or pay any attention. She named the boy Ichabod, saying, "The glory has departed from Israel because of the capture of the Ark of God and the deaths of her father-in-law and her husband." She said, "The glory has departed from Israel, for the Ark of God has been captured."
In the first few chapters of 1 Samuel, we read about the lives of individuals. It began with Hannah, and then the birth of Samuel, followed by Eli the priest, and his two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, who were both priests, but because of their behavior at sacrifice time, they displeased God. Last week in chapter 3, it was about Samuel and God who called him to be his prophet. And in this week in chapter 4, the focus shifts, and it's really on the nation of Israel and what is going on there. Right away we learn that they went out to fight the Philistines. As you know, the Israelites and the Philistines had many battles. Just to remind you that in the book of Judges, we read about Samson, who had many fights and battles with the Philistines. And as we read on in the book of Samuel, we read about David as the shepherd boy who fought and defeated Goliath, who of course was a Philistine. And later on we read about King Saul when he also fought against the Philistines. So in the chapter this morning that we're looking at, the Israelites are fighting the Philistines, but it does not go well for the Israelites, because they were defeated. And the Bible tells us that they lost 4,000 men. After the battle, the elders of Israel say, "Why did the Lord bring defeat upon us today?" Well, the Bible does not provide an answer to that question in this reading this morning. But there are many times as believers when we may ask the question, why did God allow that to happen? Or where is God in this situation? Those times of illness or accident, those times of redundancy or family problems or opposition or financial loss, or bereavement, to name just a few. I'm sure you could add many more to that, and maybe your minds have gone back to times when you ask yourself that question, where is God in this situation? In those situations, and we've all been there, God hasn't abandoned us at those times, although it may feel like that. The Bible does teach that our faith will be tested, and that in difficult situations we are to hold tight to God. We are to hold on to Him and trust Him through the difficulties, to trust Him when we're not quite sure what tomorrow will bring or what next week will bring. what we do know is that God does know what is best. And also, he can see what is beyond today. We have a limited view, don't we? A limited view of life. What's going on today? What's going on this week? But God sees beyond that. And it's quite interesting that as we read this chapter here this morning, it's a tragic chapter. There's a lot of death in this chapter. But as we go forward and read the chapters after that, we find that God unfolds this great canvas for the Israelites, and we see God's hand at work. So Israel has been defeated in this first battle here. So Israel needs to react in some way. The elders of Israel need to do something. They decide to bring the Ark of the Covenant, which is sometimes known as the Ark of the Testimony. They decide to bring it from Shiloh and take it into battle with them. Now, let me explain for those of you who are not sure what the Ark of the Covenant is. The Ark of the Covenant was made of wood, and it was covered in gold, and it was made at the command of God, and it was the time of Moses, and God issued instructions to Moses how it should be built, and inside it was the law of God. The Ark is a symbol that God's presence is with the Israelites. I'll repeat that because it's important that we understand it. The Ark is a symbol that God's presence is with the Israelites. So the Ark is sent for and is brought to the Israelite camp. There is great excitement, the Bible tells us. Great excitement, and a great shout goes up. So much so, the Bible tells us, that the ground shakes. Gosh, it must have been a shout. When I was young, and I lived in Liverpool, I lived about three quarters of a mile from Everton's football ground, and I lived about half a mile from Liverpool's football ground. And when they shouted and, you know, the right team scored, you knew about it. Of course, in those days, you were getting 60 and 70,000 people to a Saturday afternoon football match. But you would hear the roar from the crowd. The roar from the Israelite camp was so great that the Philistines heard it. Philistines in their camp heard the uproar from the Israelites, and they were afraid. And this is what they say, verses 7 and 9. 7 to 9, I should say. The Philistines were afraid when they heard the shout. A God has come into the camp, they said. We're in trouble. Nothing like this has happened before. Woe to us! Who will deliver us from the hand of these mighty gods? They are the gods who struck the Egyptians with all kinds of plagues in the desert. Be strong, Philistines. Be men, or you will be subject to the Hebrews as they have been subject to you. Be men and fight. The Philistines' theology was wrong. They talked about gods in the camp. Israel only had one God. But we can forgive the Philistines and their theology. And then this is what happened. The two armies fought each other again. And the language the Bible uses is quite interesting. It says, the Philistines fought and the Israelites were defeated. I think it's quite interesting that the way the Bible puts that. The Philistines fought and the Israelites were defeated. Could it be that the Israelites were relying on the presence of the ark they had taken into battle and were complacent about the outcome? And the Philistines fought with all their might to win because their opponents, they believed, had an advantage. Sadly, Israel lost again. And the Bible tells us that they lost 30,000 men in the second battle. And the ark was captured. And Eli's two sons died. What a terrible day. What a terrible day. Could we have the caption, please? I'm sure this is the question which the elders of Israel asked. Defeat once, defeat twice. I wonder why. Defeated. I wonder why. Well, we do have a clue this time. We do have a clue regarding this defeat. Look at verse 3, the latter part of verse 3 in this chapter. 3b, as we would call it. So they, first of all, they say, regarding the first battle, why did the Lord bring defeat upon us today before the Philistines? Then they say, let us bring the ark of the Lord's covenant from Shiloh so that it may go with us, notice this, and save us from the hand of our enemies. I know what that means because I've been reading this for the last 3 or 4 days. Let us bring the ark of the Lord's covenant from Shiloh so that it may go with us and save us from our enemies. This is where the problem lay. The elders of Israel were putting their trust in the ark, whereas they should have been putting their trust in God. Big difference, isn't it? The ark, even though it was commanded to be made by God, was made of wood and gold. But if we're talking about the God of Israel, the God of creation, the God of heaven and earth, we are talking about something totally, totally different altogether. The ark is only a symbol. It is God that they should have been looking to after their first defeat in battle. They should have been crying out to God in prayer, asking for his help and asking for his guidance. But you know, there's none of that in this chapter. We don't read about any imploring of God to help them. Their trust was in the ark and not God. The cross, which we have up there, is a Christian symbol. The cross cannot save us. Only Jesus Christ can save us. It is a reminder for us not to lose our focus. Because in Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2 it says, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith." There will be others. You may hear of others, TV, radio, books, who say there is a different way forward. There's a planned way forward. If we do this or say that, or go about it in this way, and follow Jesus in this way. But the Bible's quite clear. As Christians, as believers, we fix our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of our faith. I was reading a couple of weeks ago about an American author who was writing about those in mainly America, I have to say, who, because he was an American writer, of course he knew all about it, about these tele-evangelists who talk about the prosperity gospel. For those of you who don't know what the prosperity gospel is, it's they preach, you know, come to Christ and you'll be better off. Your bank balance would be bigger. You'll have a better car. You'll have bigger house. Your life will be improved. It's all about finances and all about having more things. The Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible doesn't teach that at all. So that is a different gospel. And so, unfortunately, people who listen to that and believe it, they are being misled. They are given wrong information. You and I know that it is the Bible who we should be following. It is the Bible that is our textbook for life. Now the scene in this chapter 2, as we get to verse 12 and onwards, the scene moves from the battlefield to the town of Shiloh. And there's a man who arrives in Shiloh, and he's come from the battle line. And he has this bad news of the defeat and the capture of the ark. The townsfolk, when they hear about it, they cry out in anguish at the news, and Eli, the old priest, is sitting on a chair at the side of the road. Eli is 98 years old, and he's got poor eyesight. And he can hear all the noise that is going on in the streets round about him. And the man comes over to Eli and informs him that his two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead and the ark has been captured. The news about the ark is too much for Eli, who falls backward and breaks his neck and dies. Also his daughter-in-law, she's the wife of the dead Phinehas, she's pregnant and goes into labor and gives birth on hearing all of the news. The baby is a boy, and she names the baby Ichabod, which means no glory. She says before she dies, "The glory has departed from Israel, for the ark of God has been captured." The glory has departed from Israel, for the ark of God has been captured. It was a big deal that the ark was captured. It was big in the eyes of Israel. In chapter 2 of this first book of Samuel, we read that God pronounces a judgment on the house of Eli. Eli was told that there would be no old men in his family, and that both of his sons would die on the same day. This was because that both of the sons in their priestly office had been disobedient and dishonored God at the sacrifices. God always keeps his word. We can rely on that. God always keeps his word. And he will always punish those who deliberately disobey him. There would be many Israelites who, because the ark had been captured by the enemy, would believe that God had been captured. Therefore, there was no hope for Israel. There was no hope for the future. But of course, we know that that is not true. And as we think about ourselves in this 21st century, it does seem as though God is shaking the nations of the world, which makes it even more important that our trust is in Almighty God and in his word of truth. God calls us to put our faith in his Son Jesus and to follow him. Be sure then that your security and your future is firmly founded on Jesus Christ. For he is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. Now next week, even though it's only a shortened service, we'll be looking at 1 Samuel chapters 5 and 6. They're not to be missed. They're not to be missed. And it reminds us that God cannot be defeated.